thriving, wonderful church, and I didn't know what I was doing. But God blessed. And one of the things that I was able to do when I became pastor, and even when I was a youth pastor, the man that I worked under, he said, "Now I want to help you in your ministry. And I want to help you do everything you can to be successful as a youth pastor." He said, "If you need to go to a conference, if you need extra training, if you need help with anything to help you be a good youth pastor, the church will pay your way and we'll make that happen." So I was privileged as a young youth pastor in my early 20s to be able to go to a lot of different things and learn how to articulate the gospel. I'm still learning, but I really had a lot of resources dumped in my lap to help me know how to give the gospel. And it really was a help to me. And so I want us to understand that as we give the gospel, we ought to be authentic in our presentation. We ought to be real. Amen? We ought to be real. People ought to see that we're real in giving the gospel. That will help us to articulate the gospel. And that's probably what I'm going to try to do here in the next 30 minutes, is help you to articulate the gospel better. And that is important. And I pray every day, and we ought to pray every day, that the Lord will help us to articulate the gospel. Okay? You know, when I meet somebody and I'm witnessing to them, first thing, I don't even know who you are, but I don't say, "Hey, Steve," I don't say, "Hey, are you saved?"
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm glad you are. But okay. But the first thing I don't do is I don't go up to him and I say, "Hey, are you saved?" Because most people don't know what saved means. So I may ask something like this: "Hey, do you go to church somewhere?"
Yes, I do.
Okay. If you died today, do you know for sure you got die and go to heaven? You know, something. And we've heard the questions before. So you have to be careful how you articulate the gospel. And then if they give you an excuse, how are you going to respond to that? And that's what the direction of this workshop is, and we're going to give you lots of things, and we're going to do it very quickly because we have a lot to give you. So let's look at Luke chapter 19, verse 10. What is God's goal when we talk to people about the Lord? God's goal is that all come to salvation. Luke 19, 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So our primary goal is to get people to make a decision for Christ. And I like what Dr. John R. Rice said on page 4. The dearest thing to the heart of God is to get people saved. You're not in tune with Him. You're not thinking like God thinks. You do not want what God wants unless you want souls saved. I shared this quote last year at the conference. How can you who claim to be good Christians not have a deep compassion of heart for people who lose everything, then burn in hell and are tormented in flame, remembering? You could keep someone from going there, and if you do not, then you sure are not a very good Christian. Wow. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Now, I didn't say it. John R. Rice said it. But it's a powerful truth, and it brings some perspective as we think about working with people and helping people and articulating the gospel and working through their excuses. And so on page 5 of your study guide, you see several truths, and I've pointed one. Our ultimate goal is to get the person to make a decision for Christ. Okay? You cannot make the decision for them. Obviously, they must be drawn by the Spirit of God. And let me just say this, as we get into the message today and the lesson, there will be some people, I'm going to pick on you, Steve, there will be some people that you will confront with the gospel and they will not respond and get saved.
Get with me.
Okay? And I'm learning as I get older that it's okay. I mean, I can plant the seed. God can water it, and in His timing, He may come back to the truth. Okay? So, and you've heard a lot of things. You've heard a lot of people say, "Well, He's not rejecting you. He's rejecting the gospel or the Lord." You know, we've heard all that before. But I'm not going to get frustrated, and I'm not going to get mad at Steve if he doesn't respond the first time I talk to him about the gospel. And he may have a lot of excuses, and he may have a lot of doubts. And we'll try to work through some of those here in just a second. So be careful about that. So let me give you on page 6, and then we're going to read, have these men going to read these verses here in just a second. And I want to build a foundation on this, these three words. I want to build a foundation to help you with five passages of Scripture that I memorized years ago that helped me answer some of the excuses that people give, and I hope it'll be a help to you. Okay, on page 6, number 1, we always need to remind people that their life is brief. Number 2, we need to remind people that death is sure. Number 3, we need to remind people that you're trying to lead to the Lord, that Christ may appear at any moment. So life is brief, number 1. Number 2, death is sure. Number 3, Christ may appear at any moment. Number 4, remind those who are lost that nobody is promised tomorrow. So they're not promised tomorrow. And number 5, we need to remind people that there is absolutely no escape if they don't get saved. So from those five facts, I build my basis upon five scripture verses. Proverbs 27:1, Matthew 24:44, Hebrews 2:3, Hebrews 9:27, and James 4:14. And so what I've done is I have memorized, I have targeted five verses in Scripture that give answers to a lot of people's excuses. And I've listed some of those excuses on the bottom of page 7. Those excuses are not exhaustive, and we're going to get into a little bit more detail here in the next few minutes to talk about more excuses. But what I'm giving you is if you'll memorize these five verses and meditate upon them and get them in your mind, then if you can remember some of these excuses that most people give, then you have five verses to throw at them. Now here's what I'm leading to. My authority in soul winning is not my personality. It's not my degrees on my wall. It's not who I know. My authority in soul winning is the Word of God. Okay? So we go back to the Scripture and we go back to the authority. My authority is my Bible. Now, if you are a soul winner, we have soul winners in our church, get you a little New Testament Bible that you carry with you. Don't carry the family Bible with you when you go soul winning. I know most of you don't, except for Jackson. He's weird anyway. But anyway, carry just a regular little New Testament Bible. You have the authority of Scripture. Use these verses. Okay, let's read them out loud. Proverbs 27:1. Who has it? Okay, read it, Jackson.
Boast not thyself tomorrow, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
Okay, that's under point number 4 on page 6. Remind people that nobody's promised tomorrow. Because you may have people like Steve come to you and say, well, I'm not ready, I'll wait later. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Okay, you can share that with them. Okay, so there is your authority, is Scripture. You say, well, if they say, well, I don't believe in the Bible, I would use Bible truth and keep going back to them with the Scripture. If they reject the Bible over a period of 2 or 3 times in your presentation, then the Holy Spirit is not ready to draw them. I mean, you've done all you can. Okay? And what I don't do when I go soul winning is I don't try to reason with people scientifically, and although there's some people that can do it very good and reason with people with all the reason around. Listen, again, our authority is the Word of God. We come with the Scripture, okay? We come with the Word of God. And that is the premise of this workshop to base these excuses on. We use the Bible to show them because the Bible is sharper than a what? Excuse me, two-edged sword. So I've got a sword, buddy. Okay, now don't hurt me, okay? But I've got a sword I'm going to use on Steve, see? And the Word of God is powerful. Okay, the next passage, Matthew 24:44. Who has that? Okay, Jake?
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of God.
Okay, and that goes under point number three, Christ may appear at any moment. So, you know, you tell people, say, well, I can wait later. Well, Christ may appear. You believe that? Say amen. I mean, we believe Christ could appear at any moment. Okay, Hebrews 2:3. Who has that? Kyle?
How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard us?
Okay, we cannot escape salvation. And again, some people will say, well, I'm just not ready, or it's salvation is not important, or Jesus is one of many ways. You know, you can use this verse. See, what I'm doing is I'm building a foundation on these five verses. Hebrews 9:27. Chris?
As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this is the judgment.
Okay, so after we die, you know, there's going to be judgment. We're all appointed to death. We're all headed on a crash course to death. Now, that's not very encouraging, is it? Okay? But it is life. It's reality. If the Lord tarries His coming, one day I'm going to die. Now, I don't want to think about that, but it's a reality. And a lot of us don't. I didn't wake up this morning saying, well, maybe today I'm going to die, you know? And probably most of you didn't. But we need to be ready, amen? And when we articulate the gospel and we share the gospel with people, we need to remind them that death is something that could happen in their life. And because some people will say, well, I've got lots of years ahead of me. I'll do that at a later date. I have a man in Tipton. I have to be careful because I've got a lot of people in here from Tipton. But I've been praying for him. I've been witnessing to him. He's lost. He needs the Lord. He'll come into my office and he'll listen to me. But he's about 50 years old, 55 years old. He's obviously older than me. And he says, well, one of these days I'll make it right. One of these days, when I get older, I'll get saved. Well, I have to remind him, he's not promised tomorrow. Saved. So I'm building these five verses, and these will help answer a lot of these excuses. And then, Tyler, you have James 4:14. Read it nice and loud.
Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away.
Okay, life is short. Okay, life is brief, life is short. And you can use these five verses again to present a case for salvation, and they'll help answer a lot of the excuses that you see on page 7. Okay, so what I want to encourage you to do is to articulate the gospel message clearly before we turn to the next page. I want to encourage you in the next 6 weeks or the next couple of months to memorize these passages on page 7. Memorize these five passages, mull them over in your head over and over, review them over and over, so that when you present the gospel and you have a gospel presentation you can present, you've got five verses that help answer a lot of people's excuses. Okay? Just something to think about. It's a tool to help you with these five verses, and you can start from there. Now turn to page 8 and 9 and 10. Okay? And what I've done is, in this workbook that I have given you, I have packed it down with a lot of passages of Scripture so that you can use the Scripture. We won't look at them all today because we don't have time. I've got 20 minutes and we're through. But you have tools, you have the Scripture verses to go with the excuse that people may give you. Okay? And so on page 8, I've listed 10 things that are God's great desire. Okay? And I want you to just look at those and familiarize yourself with those in the days ahead. Now on page 9 and 10, I'm going to give you some other excuses that many people will say. And then underneath it, some passages of Scripture. Okay? And we may turn to some of these. Again, there's so many passages here, we can't look at them all. But some may say, letter A, I'm too great of a sinner. And how many of you, I want to ask you this, I want you to raise your hand, I want some interaction here. How many of you have witnessed to someone in your lifetime and they said, oh, I've done a lot of bad things, God will never save me? Raise your hand. Okay, look, quite a few. My hand goes up too. Okay, you can put your hands down. And so what you would do is you could take them to these three passages of Scripture, Romans 5. 1 Timothy 1:15, Isaiah 1:18. Now they're a little different passages of Scripture. You got old and new there. Okay? If you're stumped and you don't know what to say, We all know John 3:16. And if I'm stumped, I will say, well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Let me tell you something. God loves you. Okay, despite of anything you do. And here's something about God's love, and this is good to articulate, and you might want to write this down somewhere. Okay? And this is a powerful truth that I've learned. God's love is unconditional. Can I have an amen? That means He loves me with an everlasting love. Will God ever stop loving me? Yes or no? If you go out and rob a bank today, will God still love you?
Yes.
Okay? Even though you robbed and you got away with $100,000, will He still love you?
Yes.
Okay, you did wrong, you scoundrel. Okay, but God still loves you, okay? See, unconditional love. Okay? Anything I do, God still loves me. And He loves me with an everlasting love. And this is something, again, it goes back to articulating the gospel. As we articulate the gospel, we can emphasize these things. This is a little bit more powerful than just saying God loves you. Now, I'm not underestimating the love of God. He loves us. Amen? But He loves us unconditionally and with an everlasting love. He never stops loving us. See? So I can articulate this with them, and this helps me overcome some of these excuses that people may have. Well, God doesn't love me. Or I'm too great of a sinner. Well, if you tell them this, it may grab their attention and convict their heart. See? Okay, letter B. Well, and I've had people say this, I must become better before I can become a Christian. Well, we're not here to reform you, we're here to save you. See? And there's a difference. God wants to save us from the inside out. See? So we can never become better, because better is never good enough, because God's standard is perfect. See? So there's a couple of verses, John 3:16 I listed there, Luke 5. Okay? Letter C, I'm afraid my decision won't last. Okay? I think this is the one I want to turn to. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1:5. And again, I'm not going to preach all these verses. Now, 1 Peter 1:5. Now, again, what I'm teaching you, and you're going to have to go home and mull through this. I'm just giving you tools. But what I'm doing is you're going to have to look at these verses and be ready. Remember, the Bible says, be ready always to give a what? An answer. Okay? Look at 1 Peter 1:5. Okay, Chris, you got it? Read it, Chris.
For by the power of God, and His faith and His salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Okay, who keeps me saved? Come out! Hey! Who does? Do I keep myself saved? Okay, can He keep me saved? He's all-powerful. This is the nature of God. God keeps me saved. See? My church attendance doesn't keep me saved. My tithes and offerings doesn't keep me saved. God keeps me saved. Amen? So you need to articulate that. It goes back to this right here. I'm articulating the gospel clearly and convincing them through the Word of God that their decision can last because God keeps me saved. Letter D, it's too hard. It's just too hard. I'm reminded, I think Matthew 11:30, if it's not here, you can write it down. My yoke is easy, Jesus says, and my burden is light. Okay? My yoke is easy. Okay? It's a joy to be saved. Okay, letter E, I fear what others may say or think. You may hear that. But what will my friends say? I tell people this, and this is where a little boldness comes in. I say this to people, well, your friend's not going to stand with you on Judgment Day. You're going to stand by yourself. Did you know that? You're not going to have your friend to hold your hand. And then I'm going to say this, hell's a lonely place. There's no party in hell. Did you know I had a man, this same man I was talking about that I've been witnessing to? Pray for him. He says, when I get to hell, we're just going to party. Let me tell you something. There's no party in hell. Amen. But he told me that. Grown man. Grown man. That's what he told me. So we're just going to party in hell. And there's no party in hell. And so some fear what others may think, and their influence, peer pressure is great in our society. Letter F, I may lose my friends, another excuse. There are several passages of Scripture under there. I'm reminded Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Okay, let me give you a couple more. Letter G, some may say this, I may lose my job if I get saved. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply your needs. Now again, there's three or four other verses there that you can use. Okay? Work through these excuses. Okay? Letter H, there's just too much to give up. Some may say that. And again, I'm thinking of these verses, how you can explain Scripture. Well, you have a lot to lose if you don't get saved. Okay? Letter I, well, there's just too many hypocrites in the church today. Okay? And this is the illustration I've used, and I might have used this at one of the conferences in years gone by. Some of you, I've spoke here for the last 4 or 5 years. Let me give you this illustration somebody told me years ago, and it's really good. Okay? On the hypocrites. Okay? Because how many of you heard that before? There's a lot of hypocrites. Okay, see a lot of hands. Okay, this is what I tell people, and this is a great illustration. You can use it. Somebody gave it to me years ago. It's a great illustration. I'll say, okay, what's your name?
Della.
Yes. Nice to meet you. I said, Della, when you get sick, do you go to a doctor?
Yes.
Okay? If you're really sick with the flu or pneumonia or something, you won't hesitate to go to the doctor, will you?
No.
You'll go to the doctor, won't you? Good. I do too. I have a great doctor. He got saved in our church. He takes care of me. His name's Dr. Harper. He's in our town. I'll say this. Let me ask you something, Della. Are there quacky doctors out there in America today?
Yeah.
Are there crazy doctors that you don't trust?
Yeah.
But does that stop you from going to the doctor?
No.
It won't stop you, will it? But wouldn't you admit that there's crazy doctors out there that are sort of shady,
uh-huh,
that you don't trust, that maybe they'll lose their license one day, or they should?
Right.
Okay, but you're still going to go to the doctor, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay? Let me ask you something. There are some crazy people in our churches. There's a few bad apples, aren't there?
Yeah.
Okay? But that's not going to stop me from going to church.
Right.
Yeah. See? It works every time. It's great. Okay? Because when I'm sick, I'm going to go to the doctor. I went to the ER. I had to go to the ER 2 weeks ago. I had a little bit of pneumonia, so I couldn't breathe one night. My wife took me to the ER. The doctor was a foreigner. I couldn't understand him. Okay, I didn't really like him. He was funny, okay? But he opened my lungs up and he sent me home and I was better, okay? Okay, and I was thankful for him. He looked a little shady, but I trusted him, okay? Okay? I was a true story. That's my wife, you know? I'm like, this guy's shady, but, you know, he didn't even speak English very well, you know? But he gave me the pill and opened my lungs up and I'm better, praise the Lord. See, that's a great, great example. See? Okay, I'm not going to let a few people stop me from going to church or from being saved. And I hear this. Letter I on page 10 is a big excuse with a lot of people. Well, there's too many hypocrites in the church today. Well, you can use the doctor story. Well, have you ever been sick? Because everybody's gone to the doctor. Everybody's been sick sometime in their life. Okay? But we all know, and we hear stories, sadly, that there are doctors that are sort of shady, but that doesn't stop me from going to the doctor. Okay, letter J, give you a couple more and then we'll entertain questions or thoughts. Letter J, the Bible is too hard to understand. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 1:18. We got a few extra minutes here. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Has this been helpful? Okay. 1 Corinthians 1:18, okay? For the preaching of Christ is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Okay? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2:14. These are familiar passages. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So I would tell people in a very kind way, in a tactful way, well, the reason why you don't understand the Bible is the Spirit of God's not in your heart. And when you get saved, the Spirit of God will come inside your heart and save you. See? I'm just that bold. Okay? What you need is the Holy Spirit inside of your heart to show you. And you can explain that. Some people say, well, how do you know the Bible is the Word of God? And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this is where I wanted to lead into, because I want to give you something here. This is how I was taught this years ago. If I'm witnessing to someone and they're lost, and I've taught some of my people in my church this, I'll try to make about 3 attempts to plead with them to be saved in the presentation or in the gospel. After 3 times, if they just want to debate me or argue with me, I'm through. Okay? Because I'm not there to argue with them. Okay? I'm looking for the apple that's ripe, that's ready to be picked off the tree. Okay? Do everybody understand that? Okay, so I'm not going to sit there. Now, again, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. But I'm not going to sit there and debate and give them 100 reasons why the Bible's the Word of God. Okay, it's settled. Again, we approach, and here's another thing, and Pastor Monty taught me this several years ago in a graduate class that I had with him in seminary. Pastor Monty says, we have to approach things by faith. We approach things, we look at things by faith, we accept things by faith. And one of the things that we accept is we accept the Word of God by faith, that it is God's Word. And you know what? That settled it in my heart. And you can share that with people that you witness to. Okay? We believe the Word of God by faith. Okay? Now, is there archaeological proof that the Bible is the Word of God?
Yes,
sir. Yeah. But do you carry all those facts around with you when you witness to people? Probably don't. Okay. Is there scientific fact? Can we prove the Bible, some things about the Bible scientifically? Yes, we can. The Bible talks about the life of the flesh is in the blood, the anatomy. If you don't have blood in your body, you're going to what? You're going to die. And the Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about the atmosphere, the stars, the moon. So if you have some basic knowledge, you can use that. But again, we approach Scripture by faith. And they have to believe it by faith. Salvation is by faith. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith, and that not of your? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we believe it by faith. I believe it by faith. See? So when we go soul winning by faith. We approach Scripture by faith. Okay? So these are some things that people help you understand. The Bible is too hard to understand. I've had people say this, well, I don't understand the authorized version, the King James Version. Well, I tell people the more you read it, the better you'll understand it. Okay? Okay? And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be a Kerry Smith here. Don't throw anything at me, okay? But there are some tracts that I use that may not quote from the King James Version, but it presents the gospel presentation. Okay? If I have opportunity to use those tracts, I will. Okay? Now, that may be different for you. You may disagree with that. But I have steps to... And I brought this intentionally to show you. Okay? This is a tract by Billy Graham. Excellent tract on the gospel presentation. Not every passage quotes necessarily from the Bible that I use. Okay? But it's a great tract. And I can articulate the truth even in a tract that is illustrative and presents the gospel in a very clear way. And let me just say this about tracts, and I think I'm okay in saying this because I know the crowd that's here. I would make sure that you have a tract that illustrates the gospel very clearly. And there are some great tracts out there. There's some great fundamental independent Baptist organizations that print tracts that do a great job. Okay? You want to be careful that you don't present a tract that is wordy and hard to read. Okay? And so you need to find those tracts that are very good, that articulate the gospel. Paul Chappell has some. Brother Paul Hiscock, you've just come out with something I received last week, and it was very good. Paul Hiscock, get up with... Is that okay if I say that, Paul? He didn't pay me to say that, okay? But get up with Brother Paul. He has a great tool. Also, one of the things I have done, too, in the past to articulate the gospel is I've used pictures of the cross, little flip chart pictures and just use and fill in the verses myself with no scripture and use pictures of the plan of salvation. And I've used that through the years. Okay, so I am very keen. And this is something that you can ask my people from First Baptist. I want nice tracts that really articulate the gospel very clearly. Of course, I want them biblically and doctrinally accurate, that present the gospel very clearly, that are sharp, you know, that people will appreciate and read. Okay? Let me give you the last one. Letter K. Okay? Some may say, I am just neutral about this decision. I have no feeling. And there are four or five passages of Scripture there that you can take them to or be familiarize yourself with. Again, a salvation is not based upon our feeling. Okay? There are days I don't feel like getting up and preaching on Sunday morning. Okay? Does that mean I'm disqualified as a preacher? No, it means I'm tired. Okay? And come on, let's be honest. There's days, there's Sundays you don't feel like getting up and going to church. Can I have an amen?
Yeah.
Brother Paul, there's days, I'm sure, on Sundays you don't feel like singing. Okay? But we can't base our faith on feelings. Amen? We base it upon the Word of God. And if you can bring a person to the place where they believe the Scripture, and they believe these truths, then you'll help them with these excuses. And again, those five verses that I gave on page, help me out, on page seven, if you'll start with those five foundational verses, those five key passages, that'll help you through the excuses. Now we got 1 minute, 2 minutes. We're going to lunch, so we got maybe an extra minute. Does anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts? Yeah.
The book that really helped me is great, what you taught, How to Win This for Anyone by R.E. Torrey.
Yes. I have that book. Excellent book. Okay? Jason?
So are you saying that the person who led the Lord to the United
States? Huh? Jason, you shouldn't ask me that question. That's a trick question. You're from my church. You better be quiet. No. You want my opinion? Yes, I think so. I think, you know, what are we trusting in? We're trusting in Jesus. We're putting our faith and trust in Christ. And I use this illustration. Can I say this real quick? I'm almost through. If I'm on a plane, and the plane is going down, and we're crashing in the ocean, and I'm fumbling, and the person next to me says, how can I be saved? And I look inside the front cover of the seat in front of me, and I pull out a little Bible, and it's of a different version that maybe I don't use. I believe I can show them from that Bible, they can put their faith and trust in Christ, and they can be saved. Okay? I believe that. You know, I'm not going to say, well, wait a minute, you can't be saved because I don't have a King James Bible on this plane and we're going down. I don't have that Bible with me, so you can't be saved. No, they put their faith and trust in a person. Amen? And they put their faith and trust in a person. So I believe that. Yes. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Yes. Now, we know what our preferences are. We know what we believe is the most accurate translation. But I didn't know you were going to ask that question, but that's my answer. Okay? Okay? Any other questions, real quick? We're going to lunch. We got one more minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Was it good? Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you. Thank you, Kyle.